Good morning, everyone. Oh, dear me. Thank you so much for the worship and the beautiful songs this morning. It's a lovely day. Christmas Eve. I love Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve day. And one of the reasons is that this is my birthday, my spiritual birthday. 40 years ago, God met me on the Damascus Road, the airplane road, from Chicago to New York, and appeared to me and said, I'm it. And so when I got off the plane, love changed everything. Everything. That one moment, I was different. And you take off from there. Unbelievable. Upside down. So love changes everything. As we look today, as we consider this time that we have had over the past few weeks in preparation for this Christmas time, actually it's interesting that sometimes I really feel that we're preparing every day, every year, to be what God wants us to be and to receive Jesus into our hearts every day. Yes, we're born again at one time, but we receive Jesus in our heart every day through His Spirit. So I want to read chapter 1 of Matthew, 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, righteous, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, it is by your Holy Spirit that Jesus was conceived. It's by your Holy Spirit that you are born into our own lives. And today I pray that by your Holy Spirit you will speak to us deep, deep down, Lord, far further down than we can ever look at ourselves. And that you would speak your word of love and peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want to ask, have you ever had dreams? I think everybody has had dream, okay? I'm talking about maybe a dream that appeared, you know, that was on during the night. And you wake up, either wake up during the night, right after the dream, or you wake up in the morning or something, and you think, well, did I remember that dream? What was going on? And how were those dreams for you? Were they nightmares? Were they peaceful? Were they anxious? Is this ringing a little bit? I don't know. Were they answers to questions? Were those dreams guidance for the future? What is those have dreams been like? When I was a teenager, and for a number of years, I had terrible nightmares. And I didn't think I'd ever get rid of them. This went for years. And then finally, I can't remember, but I think it was when I was in my mid-20s or so, they went away. But then later on, here in Australia, type dreams. Going in and out. It's supposed to be okay. Oh dear. Okay. Anyway, we keep going. My voice is loud enough anyway. So Have you had those sorts of dreams where you wake up and you think, what's happening? But have you ever had a dream or perhaps a vision which caused you to do something different, to make a change or go in a different direction? Now, I'm going to expand that to something that's a little out of the ordinary, something that happens to you or occurs that's not expected. Maybe you go to a movie and there's a line in the movie, or there's something that reaches out to you and speaks to you. It's not expected. And perhaps that even makes a change in your life. Maybe you overhear a conversation and some little word that wasn't to do with you at all, but something came out and it spoke to you. You know it went deep in your heart. Or you read something in a book, and I'm not talking about the Bible, although that's part of it too, but something in another book that happens and it actually changes you. Now, sometimes at night, you and I might go to bed worried about something. How many of you, raise your hand if you ever go to bed worried about something? Come on, be truthful. Okay, there's a few here that are never worried about anything. So you can't sleep well, you toss and you turn, and you try to get it out of your mind, you try to count sheep, you try to do all sorts of things. And then you might pray. Oh my goodness, you might pray. You might pray and say, God, what's going on here? I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on. And then maybe you fall asleep. And when you wake up, all of a sudden, there comes a clear answer. Or something in your mind that says, oh, click, click. It answers the question. It seems clear. Maybe a phone call comes and it makes a difference. Maybe a whisper into your heart. See, sometimes when we're really trying to figure things out, like a job to take, a place to live, a house to buy, a car to buy, whatever, a person to marry, okay? Sometimes when we're really trying to figure this out, we make a plan. We might take a piece of paper and put the pros down and the cons down. But still, the answer doesn't come. You see this list, but somehow you don't have the criteria. Maybe you don't have the criteria for how to make that decision in the pros and cons. You might have lots of cons, but the pros are bigger in quality or quantity or whatever than the cons are. So how do you make that decision? So you sometimes give up. Throw the pen down and you go out for a walk. Or you go take a nap. And then, as if by some miracle, an answer comes. An answer comes. Not every time, but a number of times that may happen. And it isn't that the answer shouts and rings bells at you. Here it is, here it is. It isn't usually in such a dramatic way. But sometimes it's just a clarity of thinking. I recently was talking to someone in our church who was trying to decide between two situations. And that person made a list of pros and cons, went through everything. And then I said, why don't you just put it down, go and sit under a tree somewhere, just relax, you know, look at the birds or whatever. And then when I talked to that person later on, they said to me, well, it wasn't that I got an answer, but I got a new question. I said, well, good. So she said, is that from God? I said, yeah, I think so. I think so. So see, when we acknowledge that these things come from God, then he becomes freer to talk to us and to speak into our lives. Now, Matthew chapter 1 is called the birth narrative. But today, we're not really seeing anything about the actual birth, but the time just before it. More about something that happens to Joseph. I was reading something recently, and it said, the forgotten father. And the fact that in, you know, in some, you can get these books, commentaries and different things that says, all about the greatest people in the Bible. Or all about the most not greatest people in the Bible. All about the most obscure people in the Bible. And sometimes you don't ever find Joseph. Poor guy. He was the one who helped to bring Jesus up. Jesus became a carpenter because of his dad. Goodness gracious. You men ought to rise up, you know, like say, what's the matter? What's going on with Joseph? The story fleshes out just what we've been thinking about and talking about, a dream, something that awakens in our heart, an aha moment that changes everything, something that opens Joseph's eyes and opens our eyes as well. See, there are possibilities beyond what we can make up ourselves, and they come from God. They're solutions and they're questions, their answers that come from God. So who was Joseph? We don't know all that much, but we know some significant things. He was a righteous man, it says. A righteous man, and he observed the Jewish faith. So men, think about it. Are you a righteous man? Are you desiring to follow the steps of God? Are you desiring to follow what is right in the Word of God? He followed the Jewish faith. He was a good man. Now, we don't follow the Jewish faith, but as a Christian, we should follow what's in the Word of God. And so are you, well, I will say both men and women. We don't want to leave out the women. But are you a righteous person desiring to follow what the Scripture says? See, when a crisis comes into your life, when a decision to be made comes into your life, this is where it all centers. Are you really following what the Scripture says? Are you really desiring to act and live as a follower of Jesus? See? It's easy when all things are great. But when there is a decision, when there is something that keeps you awake at night, when there is something that is a bit devastating, when there is something that is churning in your heart, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where our Christian faith comes in. It says he was good, upstanding. That's what righteous means. Kind and an honorable man. These things we only see little snippets, but it packs a punch. These few words pack a punch. And he learns that his betrothed was pregnant and he knew he couldn't be the father. Now let me tell you something about being betrothed in the time of this. It's not just being, some of you in here are engaged. It's not just that. It's not just putting a ring on the finger. In the Jewish faith, and lots of times there were the arranged marriages, betrothed almost, it means the covenant that you've promised to each other. And if you break that, it's a divorce. See? If you break it, it's a divorce. That's what was happening at that time. See, today, we just mess it all up, you know? First of all, people live together without any sort of promise or engagement or marriage or anything. And so there's nothing. So if you have a fight or whatever, just say goodbye. That's it. And, you know? Wipe your hands. And then there's others that get engaged and think, well, I'm going to try it all out before I get married. Or I'm going to live as if I'm married. And again, if something happens, you can just give the engagement ring back and that's it. There's no divorce. There's no big deal. But see, in that time, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. And then if two people are married, and it comes time and say, well, you know, I don't want to live with that person anymore. I don't want to put the effort in, blah, blah, blah. We'll just get a divorce. And this happens so easily in our society today. But look at here, the Jewish faith, and Joseph was a righteous man. He didn't want to do that. So what was he to do? Well, this is the choices. These are his choices. First of all, in those days, adultery was punished by death. So in actual fact, he could have had Mary stoned to death or punished in some publicly humiliating way. That was his right as a righteous Jewish man. Okay? Now, don't try to read into this what we would, how we see it, okay? And how we say, oh, that's terrible. You know, you can commit adultery today, and actually it's sort of okay, you know, like, hey, well, it doesn't matter. But this was a huge deal. And we could go into this theologically and talk about the fact that this is God and his people, and he calls us his betrothed and all that sort of thing. And he says he hates divorce and all that kind of stuff. What does that mean? He doesn't want to be separated from us as his children, as his bride. And so here, Joseph, what was he going to do? But he was a good man, remember? He was a good man, and he didn't want to do that. The scripture says he planned to dismiss her quietly. See, he was not going to be arrogant in his righteousness. He was not going to go say, excuse me, look at me. You know, I've followed the Jewish law. I'm a good Christian. You know, I do all the good things. I do this for the church. I do that for the church. And then there's a fault in someone else, and you go and bing, you know. But Joseph said, no, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to care for her. He wanted to honor her, even in the midst of this situation where she could have been stoned. Okay? So he honored her. He honored her. So let me ask you, how do you think he was mulling over the situation? How would you mull over the situation? A decision had to be made. Maybe he made a pros and cons list. You know, maybe on the pros was, she's a beautiful young woman. Maybe I've known her all my life. My family will be, you know, has chosen her for me. All these sorts of things. And then maybe he went back over the law. Maybe he missed something. Was there a loophole? Was there a way that he could get out of this? He went back over what he knew of the law. But he loved her, and he thought, how could this happen? I thought she loved me. See? He didn't want to tell anyone, because then that would blow the whole thing. So here you are, men or women, and you have this decision to make, but you can't tell anybody. And so you're alone with God. You're alone. And so, you know, maybe, as I mentioned, he said he put down the pros and cons list, and maybe he went back to hammering nails, you know, in his carpenter shop. go do something that, you know, if you like to fix cars, go fix a car. You know, if you like to paint, go paint. If you like to knit, go knit. If you like to go out to dinner, go out to dinner. You know, like something that is away from all of that. So we looked at some options. Option one was stoning. Option two was dismiss her quietly. Option three was marry her anyway, but he was righteous. And how could he do that before God and follow the Jewish law? So maybe he started praying for some kind of sign. Now, isn't that what we think? You know, God, give me a sign. You know, throw a fish through my window or something, you know. Have something come down the chimney. have a telegram come. You know, do this, signed God. That sort of thing. Something big, maybe like a burning bush. Or maybe even something small, like a whisper on a mountain. And somehow, through all of this, he went to bed that night with this thing in his heart saying, I'm going to dismiss her quietly. Then there was the dream. God intervenes. Now, you know, it's interesting. Why didn't God intervene sooner? I mean, he was mulling over this. He went and hammered nails. He wrote a pro and con list. He did all those. Why didn't God do something then? Well, we really don't know. But God has perfect timing. And so sometimes, when we rid our mind of all this, we kind of make this decision and we go to sleep. And God had his purposes. God has his purposes in your life and in my life. And even when we make a decision, even when we quietly make a decision in our heart, and we go to bed or we go on our way, if that is out of the will of God, sometimes then God intervenes. Intervenes. And so this is what happened. The night before he was to tell Mary, he had this disturbing dream, and we read about it. An angel of the Lord came and spoke to him in the dream. And what? He basically said, Joseph, don't abandon Mary. Stand by her. She is not pregnant by another man, but by the Holy Spirit. In a mystical, mysterious manner. You know, I can't explain it to you right now, says the angel. She will bear a son, spirit and flesh. And you are to name the child Jesus. It was the father that names the children. And that is why God gave Joseph that responsibility. And the name means God saves, because he will save God's people from their sins. So this was the dream. Here was Joseph already all making all of his decisions and all that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes as parents, we make a decision, we go to bed, and God intervenes and says, no, you know, don't ground your daughter. don't take the keys away from your son. You know, whatever. Or maybe do ground your daughter, or do take the keys away from your son. Who knows? So here, he wakes up. What about when you wake up from a dream? What are your thoughts? Is that real? An angel appeared. Was that real? Can you remember it? Do you try to remember it? What was that voice that said, there was an angel, wasn't there? Says Joseph to himself. What about that timing that we just mentioned? He'd already decided what to do. And here at the last moment, God, you talk to me. And God, he said to him, don't be afraid. What did that mean? So let me ask you, or we know what happened, but let's look at this. What did Joseph do? First of all, he could have dismissed the dream as too much turkey or sushi. You know, he could have said, well, that was weird. He could have said, but I've already made up my mind. This throws a spanner in the works. But that is not what Joseph did. He responded to God. He let the dream influence the way he planned to act in life. He made an about face. Have you ever made a U-turn in your life? Have you been ready to go on something and boom, God brings something in your life and woo, you make a U-turn or you go in that direction? I think there's been spoken to me. Better. When on New Year's Eve 40 years ago, Christmas Eve 40 years ago, it was a U-turn in my life. Totally different. Within an hour, the landing in New York, I got off the plane a totally different person. Upside down, turned inside out, all sorts of things. And there's been others that maybe haven't been quite as earth-shaking as that. So Joseph decided not to go through with his previous decision. Are you willing to change your decisions when you hear from God? Are you willing to say, God, I need, you know, I'm hearing from you. We know that he followed God and married Mary, and they had a son called Jesus. One moment of a dream, a vision, a tap on the shoulder by an angel, Joseph's life was changed. Wow. But see, he had to be open to that. He had to be willing to receive it. He didn't dismiss the dream. Instead, he acted in a new way as a result of the dream, different than the way he planned to act. I want to make a venture here that you and I, as rational, scientific-minded Western minds, make plans. In fact, we make a lot of plans. And in fact, we like our plans. We love our plans, you know, because we want control. You know, this is the way it's going to happen. I'm putting it, have you ever put a list on your fridge? You know, this is going to happen. And you know what? God just loves to disrupt our plans. You know, he just loves to come in and go, boom, you know, I've got something else. But the point is, as followers of Jesus, are we willing to listen to him? Or do we put up a fight? Now, I must say that God is, he never gives up. And you might fight him. But what happens when you fight God? It's kind of like Jacob, you end up with a limp. You get hit in the hip. And the thing that you're going for, the thing that you're walking toward, sometimes that is wobbly. Because you have not bidden yourself. You're not desired to be what God wants you to be and to make that decision. And this was hard. You know, Joseph's decision that he had to make was hard. He chose to act out of faith, and that's really what God is doing. When our plans, we make all our plans, and we sometimes write them in gold or chisel them on a stone. He says, but I want you to act out of faith. Not because your plans, but out of faith. He acted on his secure belief in God and a trusting acceptance of God's will. A trusting acceptance of God's will. He acted on that. He was obedient no matter what the consequences. And because of this, he was changed. He was transformed, not just on the inside, but the outside as well. His whole life was changed. His whole world was changed. He was awakened to new possibilities. You know, God's love changes everything when we respond in faith. And as we rehearse again this wonderful story of the birth of Jesus, and we read of his growth and his stature and wisdom, we read of his ministry, and we read of his death and his resurrection, we know it's not just a dream, it's real. It has changed the world. His love came down. His love stooped to the earth to become just like one of us, so that he might save us. And when we remember again what Isaiah promised, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that's not just a dream, but it's a reality for all God's children. And it will become a practical reality when Jesus returns again. So see, the birth story is not just the birth in a manger. It's the whole shooting match. It's the whole thing. Because the reason that this is given so much, we see it so much, is because we know he died for us. We have to put the whole picture together to really understand the significance of Emmanuel, God with us. We aren't celebrating the birth of Jesus because it was a distant memory. We aren't just having a holiday time. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ into the world. Because just as it was an awakening story, it's an awakening story. It's our awakening story. Jesus coming into our own heart. Jesus bringing us a dream. Jesus changing us. Jesus awakening possibilities in our lives that we could never even dream of. of the love of God shed abroad. And it changes everything. Consider it. Meditate on how it has changed your life since you committed yourself to follow the will of God. Now, some of you and some of us, we might say, hey, it just went all upside down and I've had struggles ever since that day. Well, okay, you've entered into the realm of spiritual warfare and the spiritual kingdom. Or you might say, how? You know, I'm just flabbergasted as how I've changed and how my life has changed. Of the new directions that I've gone in. Of how God has brought people and circumstances into my life to change me, to grow me, to mature me. He is so real in our lives that it causes us to change our lives. Transform them, move in a different direction, and maybe even try to transform the world. And I'm not talking about Superman stuff, just being Christian in this place. Just He puts you. Look at the Word of God. It's always transforming, and it's always bringing direction into our life. You know, I was just thinking back of the people that God changed so much in the Scripture. Abraham and Sarah, they just laughed, but they did have a son. Elijah, the great prophet, so discouraged that he wanted to die. And God spoke to him in a whisper. Jonah ran from God to a fish and changed his direction. Saul, who became Paul, had his direction set. He was going on that Damascus road to get rid of people who follow a dead man named Jesus. But a bright light and a voice stepped in his path, stopped him in his track. Direction completely. You and me. What are those? Me, go to Australia and live in a tent? You gotta be kidding. Love those who persecute me? You gotta be kidding. Turn the other cheek? You've gotta be kidding. Take up my cross? You've gotta be kidding. Love a Muslim as a child of God? You've gotta be kidding. You want me to love that relative who is always so obnoxious? You've gotta be kidding. Say, even though she's pregnant by me? You've got to be kidding. Love everyone? Really? Got to be kidding. Does that resonate? Does that resonate? The testimony of Joseph and all these men and women, we must be willing to let go of the life we have planned so life that is waiting for us. That's the good news at Christmas. The who is to set the world to rights and to turn our world upside down. Can you and I be a hero of the faith by speaking to the incredible drama of God? Because when we do, love changes everything. Love changes everything. Let's pray. Father, I pray that your word in today's message and in the Scripture will be ignited by the Holy Spirit deep within our heart. That you would speak to each one of us and you would not let us go. You would not let us sleep. You would not let us just take life as we want it. But Lord, you would intervene. Just as you sent Jesus as a baby into the world. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit into our hearts. Some of us may have decisions to make. Some of us may have struggles we're going through. Some of us may have questions that we just can't seem to get answered. Some of us, Lord, just may be unhappy or depressed. Father, I pray that by your Spirit, whether a dream, a vision, a word, a whisper, that you would intervene and through your love, you would change everything. In Jesus' name, amen.